of living water flow and make everything healthy. Heal everything. Yeah. Don't forget to place your phones in airplane mode. Amen, Father. Once again, we give this meeting to you tonight. Cleanse us and refresh us tonight. Fill the whole meeting with yourself. And let your Holy Spirit work in us by the power of your resurrection to refresh us, to strengthen us, to make us able to receive everything. We want to continue to hear your word and your speaking, and we want to trust the anointing in us that you will speak to us. Bless all the saints. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are still 3 chapters till chapter 57. And we also have 3 more meetings tonight and 2 more meetings tomorrow. We'll finish the first section of the third part. And it's good that we don't go too fast, because this really is the desire and a burden of the Lord to show us this wonderful servant of the Lord. It's not just a matter of knowledge. And I trust the Lord that we also will not just receive it as knowledge, but will also receive this burden and desire of the Lord. And we trust in his grace that he will make us into such servants. Otherwise, there's no point just to read about it. The Lord is very gracious to us. It's not about a conference about Isaiah. We can also read Isaiah at home by ourselves. But we want to lay hold and grasp and understand what the Lord wants to show us, not for our sake, but that his purpose will be fulfilled in our time with us and will be perfected in us. Otherwise, there's no point. When the Lord was on this earth, that was what was in his heart. It was not only to finish the redemption, but to accomplish what God's purpose is, what he wanted to accomplish, not only with us and redemption, but God's plan with man. Remember, he wanted to make us to kings and priests. He wants to have his kingdom on this earth. He wants to bring his kingdom here on earth. And he wants to be king of kings, to rule over all the nations. And this is powerful. And we must see this. And he needs our cooperation. He needs such servants today, especially at the end of this age. Let us not just do some kind of thing, work for the Lord, but have such a goal before our eyes and go on with such a goal. It's worth it. It's worth it. I hope that the Spirit will work in us all. There's just a short way, a short distance to go. Let us give ourselves for it. Let's consecrate ourselves for it. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to chapter 55, the Lord's invitation. After our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, had prepared such a feast. Yes, the salvation is a feast. That's why today we're learning to feast. Is this not the case? The Lord, as the Passover, is a feast. A Passover feast. And the feast of unleavened bread for us to eat, not just to believe it, but that we would receive it and take it into us, and that would become our portion as food. Many did not understand when the Lord explained it to them and spoke to them, "My flesh is the real food, is the true food. My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." And on the last day of the feast, he said, he invited who? All those who thirst, who were thirsty. He said, "Come here and drink." He didn't say, "All those who believe," but he said, he didn't say, "Come here and believe." He said, "Come here and drink. Drink of the water of life." And this, and he was speaking of his Spirit, this Holy Spirit, as the water of life that we should drink today. Everything that the Lord did is food, is edible, and is drinkable, and is a wonderful nourishment to us all. He said, "He is the bread from heaven. He came as the bread of life. And we have to eat him and live by him." In all these days, we ate so much. And because I ate so much, I fasted tonight. Too much. I ate too much. But I'd like to ask you a question. How much have you eaten from the Lord? Or of the Lord? We care so much about eating and living by him. I think the Lord wants to repeat that. He wants us to repeat it so it would come into our hearts, enter our hearts. Surely it's very important. Because right at the beginning of the Bible, on the first part, chapter 3, God spoke to Adam that he should eat from the tree of life. This is shown clearly, immediately, to show us that everything God wants to give us is living, organic food. It's edible. And it has to come into us, enter us, so that we would receive life. It's not knowledge, not theology, not religion, not a knowledge, but that we would eat him into us, that he would be inside of us already from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end. And he showed me, what did John say in Revelation 22? He showed me a river of water of life. it's the same. And it came, it proceeded from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street and on either side of the river, what was there? The tree of life. The Bible has not changed from the beginning all the way to the end. And we all have to know this today. And we have to tell others, proclaim it to others. Our faith is a living faith. So praise the Lord. I hope that we will not only have such a consciousness, but that we ourselves will eat and drink ourselves, drink and practice to eat and drink, that we would take in the Lord in all of his riches. If you only eat potatoes, sausage and potatoes and sauerkraut every day, and sausage, potatoes, sauerkraut. What have you eaten? So much, including dessert. Such rich food. Do you think that the heavenly food that the Lord gave us and that the Father had prepared for us, that it's just sausage, potatoes, and sauerkraut? I don't think so. I don't believe so. Paul wrote about an unsearchable riches of Christ, his humanity, and so many aspects, all of his virtues, even his suffering, is wonderful food to us. Maybe a little spicy, but it's good. Koreans like to eat spicy. Kimchi, hallelujah. It tastes good. The Lord, as our food, has many kinds, many sorts, multifaceted, and judgment, righteousness, not only grace, but also truth. Not only love, but light, righteousness, peace. Many, many aspects for us to eat. It's not just to learn, but that we would eat each word that is written in this Bible is food for us. You do not just live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that is food for us. Not every word is pleasant, but as food, even medicine. We all need much food in the Word to be healthy. God didn't put all the vitamins into an apple so you only have to eat an apple. No. The vitamins are spread out into many different wonderful plants. Proteins in different forms, right? Different kinds of meat, different kinds of fish, etc. So look at all the vegetables. God even coordinated the vegetables by color. You need green, you need orange, red. You can eat all these colored vegetables. It's not that everything is just put into one type of food. Salvation, salvation, just salvation, salvation, forgiveness. Salvation, forgiveness. Then you all have vitamin A and you don't have anything else. Just vitamin A. But then we have a lack in so many other vitamins. It's the food. God wants to give us rich amount of food. And Paul had this concept. Paul said, I gave you milk to drink milk, but there's also solid food. Words of the truth, righteousness. Many other things. There are many things in the Word. And here we have to learn, since the Lord has done such a wonderful work, now we have to, in all, we have to partake of all His accomplishments and His incarnation, His sufferings, His humanity, His righteousness, His holiness. It's all food for us. His death. We have to enjoy all these things. We have to enjoy His death. We have to know the power of His resurrection and also His ascension. That's why the Lord has also shown us more, that everything which He has accomplished or He has attained is a feast for us. The Passover. At that time, in those days, they ate the lamb and they ate the bitter herbs. They also ate unleavened bread. Then they had to purge out all the leaven and the first fruit in resurrection. Wonderful. Barley. We also have to learn to eat barley. Praise the Lord for such a feast, the feast of the Pentecost. We have to learn all this. Everything that the Lord has done, the Lord summarized it or put it all together in all these feasts. Why? Why in such a way? So that we could learn how to enjoy it, eat it, experience it, to bring it into us, ingest it. The good thing about eating so that it's enjoyable is that it's tasty. Eating without taste doesn't work. That's why Peter says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We have to taste. Knowledge will not give you any taste, but the experience will give you taste. If you think of kimchi, if you think about kimchi, there's no taste. But if you eat it, there's a taste there. The Lord, as this wonderful food, has taste. And we all have to learn and get into the experience of this taste. So even if you don't see it, but you taste it, then you know what it is. That means through this wonderful life and food, you can discern. You can discern and know what it is. And you can also discern what it isn't. Otherwise, in the end, there's a lot of things that are spoken, but you don't know whether it's right or not. Because if you never have eaten a mango, and somehow, somewhere, I took something and I told you, this is mango, would you believe me? you wouldn't have a choice. You would believe it because you don't know what a mango is. Many tell stories, and a lot of stories. It's not about the knowledge, but also the taste. And this taste has to do with eating. And this taste also gives us the appetite. The more you taste, and the more you like this taste, then you would love to eat it again. We say, what do you love to eat? The Lord is living. He is the real food in many aspects for us to enjoy. And we have to learn to know this from now on. We have to know this so that when we speak to others, we won't just be speaking about something, but we actually have something to offer them and say, here, taste this. Then the people will see something in us. They will realize, and they'll even smell it sometimes. Praise the Lord. Chapter 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts. He didn't say sinners. He said everyone who thirsts. I really like that. Ho, everyone who thirsts. If one is not thirsty, you cannot just offer him any drink, any kind of drink. He's not thirsty. He will tell you thank you. But if someone is thirsty, this is what we have to learn. And we have to be able to discern, tell the difference. Even in Revelation, at the end, in Revelation 22, what do the Spirit and the Bride say? Whoever thirsts, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. Do you have to pay anything? Come on, really? Do you think the water of life is free? I want to tell you, it's priceless. Even if you want to pay, you could not be able to pay it. Why? Do you know why it's free? It's because our Lord paid the price already with a very high price that no one else could pay. How can you reject this? They rejected it because they didn't know what they were missing. If there were no Isaiah chapter 53, then you would have to pay a steep price. And you wouldn't get it. You wouldn't receive it. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, this is wonderful. Come, buy and eat. Today, where would you find a store where you could buy without food? Without money. Tell me, please, and I'll go there right away and knock on the door. Hey, I would still like to buy something tonight. It's so wonderful. So wonderful. Come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. One time, my family and I were in a restaurant, and we ordered some food and we ate. And in the end, I wanted to pay. Please, may I have the bill? The waiter told me, no, you don't have to pay. And I couldn't believe him. What? Then I'll come here every day. I don't have to pay. Do you know why I didn't have to pay? Because a friend who was sitting in the same restaurant, he saw us and he paid in secret. He paid for us in secret. Isn't that great? I didn't have to pay anything. The Lord already paid the price for us. Oh, Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, come and buy, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy. And this is what the Lord also said in John chapter 6. He quoted it in John 6. You buy things and you work and you buy things that are not bread. We work so much and we labor so much. What for? Not for something that will last in eternity. He said, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. From now on, you should never forget the word eat. We eat. What are you eating? We're eating Jesus. We don't just believe in Jesus. We eat Jesus. He tastes good. Truly, this is the case. It's wonderful. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. To have such a feast. We all have to enjoy such a feast. And now we understand why we have the Lord's table. What do we have on the Lord's table? A Bible and a songbook? When we come to the Lord's table, then on the table, we have a Bible and a songbook. And we sit there and everyone reads a verse. And everyone sings a song. No, we have bread. Bread. A wonderful bread that has been prepared by the Father, which has come from heaven. He is the bread of life. Made out of the finest flour, mingled with oil, unleavened, pure, holy. Praise the Lord, so wonderful. Such a wonderful bread was baked by the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. There was so much fire, sufferings, tests, trials, of sufferings of different sorts. We should read Exodus chapter 2. And we have to treasure it. He is edible. I think he meant Leviticus 2. Such a word is... I really like such a bread. I like to take a big piece of bread, and I like to take two pieces because I'm hungry. I want to be nourished. In Fountain Valley, when the bread comes to me, the brother always laughs because I always take the biggest piece and I take two of them. Because I'm hungry. This is my favorite food. You know, if you have the favorite food, what do? Do you just take a little piece? What do you do with your favorite food? Especially him. He takes a full plate of it. I know your son when he's at the table. Why don't we have any appetite for the Lord? The Lord knows. He is my witness. When it comes to this bread, I want to take more. Because I need him. Praise the Lord. Eating good food and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Eat richly because it tastes good and because it satisfies us and it also heals us. It makes us healthy. Oh, Lord Jesus. Verse 3, incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And we live by eating. And this food must be kept ongoing, kept alive by eating it daily. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. This is what the Lord promised us, an everlasting covenant. And what is this everlasting covenant? They are the sure mercies of David. The holy goodness, that's what the Septuagint says, and also in the New Testament. Did we write this verse down? Let's go to the outline. Isaiah 55, point B, on page 4. Sorry, on page 3 for us, the sure mercies of David. Actually, it's exactly like Psalm 16. You will not let your saints into Hades, in Sheol. And here we see that the sure mercies are holy goodness. The Septuagint wrote it correctly. Actually, it should be that which is holy. It's what God promised David. Here, you should read the verses yourselves. But to understand that, these verses, we have to come to Paul again. Paul is a great help to us. Because Paul quoted this verse. So let's read it in Acts chapter 13. It's good. Paul touched much. He understood a lot of the word. In Acts chapter 13, verse 34. Oh, Lord. Maybe we should start with verse 32. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And we have to see this. He spoke of the resurrection of Jesus and that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. This is also what Revelation said about himself in Revelation. See, I was dead and now I'm alive. How long? From eternity, forever and ever. From eternity to eternity. Praise the Lord. He has spoken thus. I will, and now he starts to quote Isaiah 55. I will give you the sure mercies of David. The holy mercies of David, or holy blessings. If Paul hadn't written it in such a way, none of us would have come to this idea, have gotten this idea that Isaiah was talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Would you have come up with that idea? I would never have come up with that idea. What do you think? Also not. We never would have had this idea that it is referring to Jesus, who didn't not only went into death, but much more in resurrection. He resurrected. Verse 35. Therefore, he also says in another psalm, and now he quotes Psalm 16, you will not... Therefore, he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. This is the psalm from David, that your Holy One, this word, these are the holy things, the holy mercies, the wonderful mercies. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Wonderful. Oh, Lord Jesus. This is an excellent statement. That means these sure mercies, the holy goodness, What God promised to David is our wonderful Lord. If he had not resurrected, then he would not be the Christ. He has to resurrect because God spoke to David. We don't have the time. You should read it yourself. Read the verses yourself. There will be one who, from the loins of David, who will sit on the throne. And if the Lord had not resurrected and lived eternally, as he said of himself, and he ascended and is sitting on the right hand of the Father's, the right hand of the Majesty on high. What a wonderful promise. That means this Christ is what God had promised to David. Praise the Lord. And even this Jesus is the true David, the real David. And actually, this is also what Peter wrote. Peter wrote the same thing. Let's read. This is the first preaching of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. First, what he wrote about this Jesus, verse 22. I have the wrong verse. Acts 2. Sorry, that was Acts 2 when he was preaching. Verse 27 now. For you... whom God raised up, verse 24, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David. He died, that he's both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Praise the Lord. Then he continued. Oh, let's skip. David, 34, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. These are the sure mercies, the holy goodness of David, sure mercies of David. This word, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart when Peter spoke about them. Praise the Lord. That's why we all have to learn to go deeper into all these feasts. More. Learn more. How can I taste this? How can I experience it? His incarnation, his death, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and even his ascension. All these things, they are feasts for us today. The Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits in resurrection, the ascension in the feast of the Pentecost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that he's sitting on the throne today till he makes all his enemies his footstool. All these things, when we gather together for the feast of the Lord, we need to take all these words in and remember them, not forget them, that we should daily handle, eat and drink all these feasts. You eat three times a day, not just on Sunday, and that's enough. Monday to Saturday, no food. On the Lord's Day, in this feast, the Lord wants to remind us to daily eat everything that the Lord has done and to experience it as our reality. This is the way. This is His way. This wonderful Christ has become our feast today. If we don't keep the feasts, if we don't want to keep the feast, it's okay. Nobody can force us to eat anything. Even the chef here can't force you to eat. He can just cook and put all the food on the table, but nobody can force you. Oh Lord, these sure mercies, what God had promised and even made an eternal covenant, this wonderful new covenant. This is very sure, reliable, trustworthy. This Christ, everything that he did, everything that he had accomplished for us, we lack the utterance to describe it. Oh Lord, this David is a picture of Christ, the greater David, the ascended Christ, and also the incarnated one, and the ascended Christ who's sitting on the throne. You know, dear brothers and sisters, if we have such a consciousness that the Lord is sitting on the throne, we will have few problems. Truly. But because it's just a teaching to us, and we don't taste that we are sitting with him in the heavenlies, in the heavenly places, as Paul said. Maybe Paul didn't believe about the heavenly places, so then the Lord took him and said, I'm going to show you the heavenly places. I'll show you where I'm sitting today. At least one could testify. The ascended one. Have we really grasped this? Or do we want to experience this power that we can overcome the death that had been swallowed up by the Lord? We have not grasped it fully. I have to confess, I have not fully grasped what it encompasses, in what it should be in my experience, in my daily life. We think we know. But it's not about the knowledge that he resurrected. Of course, it's written that he resurrected. But that we should also experience him. The Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. He's not just the life, he is the resurrection. Because we have problems with death, not only sin. That's why we still have to learn so much how to experience these feasts of the Lord. That's why Paul emphasizes, and Revelation emphasizes, that he's the firstborn from the dead. See, I was dead, but now I'm alive. From eternity to eternity. And he even has the keys of Hades and of death. If this, all that God has promised us, if that this is not experiential, for us to be experiential, then we would be very poor. No wonder we're just poor pew churchgoers. We're so poor as the churchgoers. Although the Lord has given us such a rich Christ, don't we have such a desire to experience it? And if we want to be servants, we first have to know this food. We have to be gourmet, heavenly gourmet people. We have to be heavenly gourmets. The French know this word gourmet even better because it's French, but it is a universal language. Because everyone loves to eat our fine tasters, gourmet. Gourmet in German is fine tasters. Are you a gourmet? Yes. We're thankful for this wonderful food at your place. I want to come again, and I want to come and eat again. I'll always come again if there's food there. Especially heavenly food. We all have to learn. If you want to be a good servant, learn to taste the heavenly food, because if you have not tasted it, then you cannot offer it to someone else. You cannot offer it to someone else. Oh Lord. What a wonderful food that God has prepared for us to eat. No wonder the Lord gave such a parable that the Father prepared a wedding feast and he invited many guests. Why does the Father use such a wedding feast? What do we expect when we go to a wedding feast? Sausage? Potatoes and quark. I believe the guests won't come. The guests will say, congratulations, but I'd rather stay at home. And I'll come after the food to your wedding. Surely, he will prepare the best food for all your guests. Is this not the case? This is normal. This is what we want to do. Then you should be happy that the German wedding is not a Chinese wedding. Because if I went to a Chinese wedding, I'd go bankrupt. There are so many different dishes. bankrupt. But our God is so rich. Such a wonderful food. And we haven't learned to treasure it. But much more, we have to learn to discover it.
Oh,
Lord Jesus. Verse 4, chapter 55, verse 4. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Such a Christ. And of course, if we know him today, then surely we will also be qualified to rule with him. Salvation is not just from the eternal condemnation, but you have to be saved in such a way, and to know salvation in such a way in your experience, that in the end we will be able to rule with him. We will be able to sit with him on his throne. This is the full menu. A wonderful heavenly menu. Praise the Lord. From the incarnation, much suffering, his humanity, his death. Oh, his death is a wonderful death. He destroyed Satan. He carried away all the sin. And your old man, he even crucified on the cross as well. He released his life. So wonderful. He ended everything that was negative. And in resurrection, he even brought forth the new man. Peace. He made peace. All these, the ordinances. All the ordinances he nailed on the cross. Isn't that wonderful? And all, he fulfilled all the righteous requirements for us. This menu is wonderful. What menu do you have at home? The Lord has a very thick menu for us. A whole Bible. I never saw such a menu. He's pointing at a Bible. So you would have to spend the whole afternoon to see what you want to eat. Lord Jesus. We thank our Lord for this wonderful menu. Verse 5, surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God. Amen. And the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This should be the result. If we are so rich with this Christ, many will come without us having to labor much. It doesn't mean that we don't have to do anything or that we're doing nothing. If you know a good restaurant with the best food, and it's even for free, free, you don't have to pay, and the best chef from Hong Kong, wouldn't you want to go there? Would I have to force you to go there? Unfortunately, today we have to draw people. Come, come on, please come. But if we have this heavenly food, such a rich supply, you would not sufficient. You would not have to draw people. And here in Zion, we have to have the best food. And of course, you already know who our chef is. He has prepared the best food, Chef Jesus. He is our chef. Our chief cook. He is our CHEF, chef. Who is your chef in Zion? Maybe he's doing a play on words on boss. Our chef is the Lord, who is the Spirit today, and who teaches us all things and shows us so much. He's so rich, so wonderful. And that's why it says, verse 6, seek the Lord. Seek the best restaurant while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. This also was quoted. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, for he will only pardon a little. How much will he pardon? How much? Manu, how much has the Lord forgiven you, pardoned you? Has his forgiveness run out somewhere? Expired? Would the Lord say, oh, I don't have any more forgiveness for you? I'm sorry, my refrigerator is empty. There's no more forgiveness for you. There is much forgiveness, abundant pardon. That's why we should also forgive others much abundantly. Yes, truly so. We must also learn this and experience it. Because we have experienced much of the forgiveness. We've received much forgiveness from him. Remember the Lord's Prayer? And Lord, forgive my debts. Period. Is that it? As we forgive our debtors. No, we don't need that. We do need it. Who has experienced abundant forgiveness in the heart will also forgive others more. This is truly so. With him, there is abundant forgiveness, abundant pardon. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts is, I'm not going to forgive you. That's too horrible, what you've done to me. I can't forgive you. Those are my thoughts. But God's thoughts are always higher. I told you the last time about Manasseh. When I found out that God forgave Manasseh, he did so much evil. He slaughtered all the righteous people, not only the prophets. If you were a righteous person in Judah, he would have killed you. He was so evil. Of course, he was led to Babylon, and there he repented, unfortunately. You see, those are my thoughts. Shh. I'm sad. What a pity that he repented. What about Jonah? But Jonah is a good man. Jonah was a good man. He also couldn't forgive the sins of Nineveh. He didn't want to preach the gospel to them because they were too bad, too evil. Those were Jonah's thoughts. But that was not God's thoughts. It was just as with Jonah. And this is how we are. This is how we are. We can't even forgive a little bit of offenses. Great sins. Yes, maybe we have an excuse if we can't forgive that. But who has committed a great sin to you? Has anyone sinned against you? A great sin? Your wife? No, not at all. Can we forgive? Yes. Okay. Simply to say yes, if we're not in the actual situation. Yeah. But praise the Lord, it's good this way. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Such a wonderful word. We cannot think that we have grasped and understood everything and that we don't need any more new revelation from the Lord. We err very much and so often. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than our thoughts. Amen. That's why we have to know him more. His views, his thoughts, his judgments. How often do I judge according to my own viewpoint, and I'm always wrong? Right? Is your judgment always right? Your opinion? We judge things incorrectly, especially heavenly things, because they're too high, and we think we understand it and know it. Oh yeah, I know it. I know how we should handle it. There's a better way. We should do it like this. We have many of our own ways, many of our own thoughts. And then we fight about methods, ways. And then the Lord is sitting there, shaking his head. Oh. He's sitting up there, shaking his head. Learn. If we want to serve the Lord, learn to leave your own thoughts as the Lord also did it. But we want to have the higher thought, high thoughts. Know the high thoughts of the Father, not my will, not my thoughts. Our thoughts are very low, actually. That's why I need the wisdom from above, his thoughts, his view, his perspective, his understanding, what he's thinking, what he wants to do. We have to seek after him and look upon him. And also his ways. Don't think, yes, I have your thoughts. What should we do? Every way is okay. No. We have to see how he wants to do it. His way. We are not so wise. Especially on God's way, when it comes to God's way. Verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there. This is also what we read in Hebrews chapter 6, right? But water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. It should be normal, but unfortunately, what was brought up? Thorns and thistles is what Hebrews chapter 6 says. This cannot be the case with us. May the Lord save us. Thorns and briars. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Here. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish. Let's read this together. Why am I reading to you? Let's read it together. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Amen. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, if we are such servants, we will experience God's word in such a way. May the Lord, from this day on, until his coming, give us such experiences as he has promised us and of what he has spoken to us. Let us receive his grace. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Tomorrow, how many meetings do we have? Two. Do you still want to have more meetings? Actually, we can stop here. You can read it at home by yourself. Let's shorten it. Shorten the meeting tomorrow. Oh, Lord. I hope that you're not too tired. I know these are long days. May the Lord refresh us all. Amen. And have a good sleep tonight. Amen. Let's read verses 12 and 13 together. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is what the entire creation is waiting for.